This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. That means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, here we are. The Caps are in first place in the East Division. What is it? Mass Mutual East Division. And they got some teams right on their tails. So joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Well, let's see. Before the show, I follow this Twitter account from Hawaii, which shows me a video driving down Kalakaua Avenue. Nice sunny sun out, palm trees. I know where the beach and the water are. And I'm looking outside my window right now, and it's raining, and the temperature is dropping. So I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm hearing snow is in the forecast for tomorrow.
Yeah, what? Okay, first of all, because I work at a school, how are we going to get snow when we're on spring break? Okay, you're going to give me some snow. Let's do it when we're in session, please. Okay, number one. Number two, it's April. Go
tomorrow.
Away. I'm done. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, go away. I love snow. I love it. It's great. I like when it's here. It's fun. Take the kid out in the snow. He was scared at first. Then he was like, oh, this is great. Sledding, loves it. No, thank you. I'm ready for warmer weather now.
I think it's also opening day for at least the Balmer Orioles. They're on the road, but still.
Yeah, Nats opening day is tomorrow, and they just had a player. They didn't say who. Someone tested positive for COVID, and five other players are close contacts. So
not good.
What is it with DC teams at the beginning of their season having issues with COVID?
I think it's they also have the same line of thinking of the rest of the world, like, oh, yeah, this thing's still around.
Right, we're having this whole pandemic.
Yeah, that's why we've all been home for the last year. I completely forgot. But the Caps, they've not been at home. They started a road trip just this nice segue there, right? Just this past
he's pretty good at this.
Tuesday when they visited Madison Square Garden. But Coach, how'd the Caps do in the past week?
They went 3-1 this past week. They who did they play? The Devils twice. Back-to-back games Thursday and Friday. The Thursday game, a little interesting. Friday, pretty dominant. And then beat the Rangers on Sunday and then beat themselves on Tuesday.
Yeah, so the Sunday game, I got to I was listening to that for the most part. I got to watch a little bit of that live. But it seemed like the Caps had this game in hand and everything was good to go. And then they just let the Rangers come back. And they let them come back. And the Rangers almost got a point in that Sunday game. And the Rangers had their number on Tuesday as well. So what is it about this team? It seems as if they are allergic to that one-hour game. They can't do it. And they let the Rangers sneak back in here. That's not how you go far in the playoffs or how you get points in the regular season. When a team is you know, when the Caps are up and the team looks like they're beaten down, they take their foot off the gas. What are they thinking?
So here's the thing that, first of all, they're not thinking, which is part of the problem. But I was doing thinking, and the thing that I've been trying to wrap my head around is, why is this a consistent thing with this team over the years? Now, the easy thing is to say, oh, it's the coaching. But there have been a number of head coaches a problem of them not playing a full 60 minutes consistently. You know, I get it. Teams have games where they play 20 minutes or 40 minutes, where they just get beat, whatever the case is. And like, that's going to happen in a season. So that's not a problem. If they came out against the Rangers after beating them 5-4 and then they lose, you know, a game 5-2 and it's a regular, you know, back and forth game where the Rangers just better on that night, it is what it is. No one goes undefeated except for, I think it was the Flyers in that one commercial for Geico or whoever it was for. I don't remember. But that's the only time that's going to happen, right? But the fact that it's been consistent over a number of years, it was like, well, it can't be the coaching. Well, it's the players. Fine, I'm on board with that argument to an extent, but they've had different players as well. So the only consistent factor here is the core players. Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Carlson, Orlov, Oshie to an extent. Like, those are their consistent factors. But I don't feel like that's enough for... It's not like they're the only ones getting scored on, right? Like, there's different goalies in net when they lose these games. There's different defensemen that have been here now from years past when they have the same issues. So I have a hard time, or I'm having a hard time, I should say, kind of figuring out exactly what this issue is and why it's happening. Because there's too many, not inconsistencies, because that's their problem is the inconsistency. But there's too many differences from every time or every team that this happens that I can't look at one thing and go, oh, well, duh, it's his fault. Or it's that person's fault. Or it's the video coach. It's not. Leave Brett alone. But I don't know. I genuinely don't know. And the thing that really annoys me about it is that they'll come out after the game and they'll go, yeah, we really got to learn how to do it. Well, then learn. Just freaking do it. If you know it's an issue, why are you still struggling with it?
It doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't, especially in this compacted season that we have. I mean, we're already halfway through, I think, where there's about a month and a half left worth of games, and I think we're even in the teens for how many games are left. And if you as a team don't realize that these points matter, especially against just the division you're up against, that you've got to beat them, then that's really poor thinking on your part as a player, poor thinking of a coach to not address this. It's wrong, because if these teams continually go to overtime, you're giving away freebie points. And right now, mm-hmm. it kind of looks like the top three teams are locked up. Now, who will be seated where, that's still up for grabs. But it seems as if the playoffs will start and the Islanders, Capitals, and Penguins will be the three teams, and that fourth seed is what's really being vied for at this point in the East. Now, anything could change. Again, these are, you know, crazy times we're living in. But that fourth seed, you know, the Capitals have not fared well against the Rangers. They're still a couple points back from Boston, who currently has the fourth seed. But, I mean, if you give away these freebie points, you know, a team like that could jump up. I'm sure, like, the Buffalo Sabres, the Philadelphia Flyers won't be doing that. But the Bruins...
Sabres, nope.
Yeah, the Rangers and the Devils. I mean, any of those teams, potentially, the Caps could be facing in that first round of the playoffs.
Well, they're going to be, because you have to get out of your division first, right?
Right.
So,
right.
I mean... You could face the Rangers, who the Caps have definitely struggled against this season. You know, they're not guaranteed a playoff spot at this point, especially if they keep pulling. I mean, let's like calm down for a second, because their record up until this point, at least during this month, has been great. And if you go back through it, beat Boston, lost, beat the Flyers, beat the Devils, beat the Flyers twice, beat Buffalo, but so is everybody else in the division, at least. You know, you beat the Islanders, you beat the Rangers, lost to the Rangers, beat the Devils twice, beat the Rangers, lost to the Rangers. So, like, they have a good record in the division, but it's little things like that where you let a game get away from you that can come back to bite you in the butt later on. And while they are 2 points up on the Islanders for first in the division, they've played one less game, so the Islanders just have to win one more and be tied with them. And then I actually don't know what becomes the tiebreaker at that point. We should probably look that up. But anyways, Pittsburgh's also only two behind, but the Caps have actually played one less game. I read it wrong. So the Caps have an opportunity to build a little bit more of a space between them. Pittsburgh's right behind them, like you're saying, and Boston's there a little further back. But if the Caps go on a losing streak and the Flyers or the Rangers go on a winning streak, it very quickly becomes, oh, well, we're going to win the Mass Mutual East, to are we going to make the playoffs?
Now, if you look at like the Penguins' schedule coming up in the month of April, they're up Boston, Rangers, Devils, Flyers, Sabres, Devils three times, Boston, the Capitals on April 29th. That'll be the first time that the Penguins are up against a team that has more points than them. You know, they are facing, I don't want to say cupcake schedule, but the Penguins' schedule for this month and that 1 week in May is pretty easy for them. You know, given COVID and everything, there is no such thing as an easy schedule. However, they are not up against anyone except for one game against the Capitals on the 29th that has a record better than them. So the Pittsburgh Penguins, they can gobble up some points and they can move up that chart and they can easily jump over the Capitals and take that number one spot in the East right now if they want to in the next month. You know, you look at the Capitals schedule and you've got the Islanders. Now you also face the Devils, the Bruins, the Sabres, but you've got the Islanders five times, and then the Pittsburgh Penguins. Jets just in April, and then the last week you have Rangers, Flyers, and your last game's against Boston. So you've got a team at the end here, Boston or Philadelphia, probably not Philadelphia, so Boston, let's just say Boston, who is going to want that last win because they want to get that fourth spot, which is very much up for grabs. So the Capitals schedule looking in through the next month is much more difficult than the Islanders or the Pittsburgh Penguins. So these points that they are losing to these teams that are underneath them is going to haunt them. Like, I think if the Caps didn't come away with a win this past Sunday, they would, at the end of the season, be looking back at that game and going, I wonder if that's why we didn't get the number one spot, or, you know, why we dropped down to third or something like that. You know, these games are, you know, we've always said it, 4-point games against a team like Pittsburgh or something like that. But a lot of these games are 4-point games in this last month and a half stretch.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality of it. When you're playing a season just in your division, every game is a 4-point, you know? And so the Caps have an opportunity. It's not necessarily the worst thing, but the Caps have an opportunity here to be gearing up for the playoffs by playing tough games going into it. And while there's a downside to that in terms of, you know, you could have injuries or players exhausting themselves before the playoffs start, I think I do prefer that than to playing, you know, New Jersey and Buffalo your last couple of games, because then it's, you're not taking it easy necessarily, but it's not the same as playing against the Islanders, the Penguins, or the Bruins going into, right, you know, going into the playoffs. So,
but the Penguins right now are without Evgeny Malkin, who is out with injury. He could be coming back, and so you're going to have a team that maybe had it easy the last month, and then you get a superstar like Malkin coming back onto that lineup.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely something that is going to help the Penguins. But right now, you know, the Caps need to, they have control of their destiny, to not right. sound overdramatic, but they're in control. They played one less game than the Islanders and the Penguins. They have an opportunity to give themselves a 4-point gap on both of them and to potentially have an 11-point gap on the Bruins. So they have an opportunity to build something here, but they can't do that if they're going to give up, or they're going to give away points, and both points, not even getting to overtime against the Rangers. You know, they're giving away both points. You got to get something out of a game, especially if you're going to let it get away from you so easily. And so I think this is a situation where they got to buckle down. Like you said, there's not a lot of games left. They're what, 52 games?
52. Yeah. I think that was the whole season.
So they've got, hold on, I'm doing math. So 17 games left. So you got to win a significant portion of those to end up as the number one seed coming out of the East, or the Mass Mutual East. And I think we're being a little dramatic so far, because it's, you know, I think if this game had been three games before, it wasn't the last game before we recorded, it would have been like a different, but it is a consistent factor with this team, especially this season, that we've noticed that they let games get away from them. And so, given that they have a harder schedule coming up, that actually could be beneficial in a way, because it's going to push them to have to work harder and play harder going into a nice stretch run before the playoffs. So I'm not overly concerned at the moment. I'm more annoyed at the play, but I'm not sitting there freaking out. You know, it's not
right.
It's not the bubble situation last year where you're like, what are you guys doing?
Right. Right.
You were playing hockey, right? Like, this isn't preseason. Wake up. You know, I just think this is a situation where they're doing what they normally do. They're just kind of, you know, they get ahead of themselves. And I always hate when you have, like the game against the Rangers on, what was it, Sunday, where you have a big lead, and they came back, and I was right. like, hello? Like, stop it. Like, I'd almost prefer to have a 1 or 2 goal lead going into the third, because even though it, you know, shaves years off your life, you feel like they're going to keep up that pressure versus having, like, a 4-goal lead. Because then they just don't, they're like, all right, we can ease up a bit. And they even talked about it afterwards. The players talked about how they eased up. I forget who it was. They say, oh, we just, you know, we didn't forecheck as hard. We sat back a bit. And I was like, why did you do that? You're not playing a bunch of children. You have to, you know, you've got to close them out.
Now, judging by my count, we have about 21 games left in the year. We got the whole month of April, 1 week in May. Who has been your MVP for the Capitals so far this year? Personally, I want to give the award to TJ Oshie. He seems
just
like he's
the
been a guy.
Thing he does with Wilson.
I got all of these rituals these guys have before the game is crazy. I have not laughed so hard at the Caps in a long time after watching Ovi and Zdeno Chara finding each other in the hallway with Big Z hiding behind a wall.
Can he actually hide anywhere? Like playing hide and seek with him, he must hate it.
Right. Just seeing that and then Ovi yelling at Wilson about the hair gel he used, I mean, was cracking me up. So, but I back to the point. I got to say TJ Oshie, he's the guy I have to give this award to as being the MVP of the season so far. He's been dynamic in what he's been able to do. He's been moving around when needed. You know, when we didn't have a lot of centers, he was the guy centering. Now, I don't want to see him do that long term. He wasn't the greatest at it, but he still did it. And then this past Tuesday, when he was up against the Rangers, he kind of helped the power play actually get a goal. I think the last 12 times the power play unit has been out there, we have not gotten a goal, and TJ Oshie was able to break that streak this past game. So for me, TJ Oshie's been the MVP of the regular season. I really like what I've seen from him. And when you have a guy like Ovi go down due to COVID, he misses a bunch of games, you like seeing a guy like TJ Oshie step up and take that leadership role. So that was good to see. But what about you? Who's your MVP of the season so far?
Oh, I'm giving mine to Craig Anderson. I mean,
Craig Anderson.
I'm just kidding. I you know, I'm having a hard time in terms of picking like one person. I think to an extent you got to give it to Backstrom because, I mean, 37 points in 35 games, 13 goals, 24 assists. Those are good. I'd like to see his faceoff percentage be a bit better considering he's, you know, a center and he's only at 45%, 45 and a half. So I'd like to see that be a bit better. I mean, Oshie's got a better faceoff percentage than him and he's not even a freaking center. So that's a problem. But, you know, Backstrom is definitely up there. But I think I think it's even easier answer than maybe I was anticipating. It's Vitek Vanacek. I mean, this is a guy who, he wasn't even going to be on the freaking roster. That's not true. He might have been on the taxi squad. But he wasn't even going to be playing every night. And then Lundqvist has to have a heart operation. And right? That was what it was? Heart operation?
Yeah.
And then Samsonov gets COVID. So right off the bat, you're like, what is happening with this season? All right, so we're going to turn it to the untested, not really kid because he's like 25 or something right around there. But you're going to turn it to the untested guy who you're not really sure about. And he's been great. He's been, you know, he's had his moments here and there, but that's going to happen with a rookie NHL rookie goaltender. But he's 14-6. He's got a GAA of 2.73. He's got a save percentage of .907. Those aren't as good stats as Samsonov, but he's also played 13 more games. And he's a very good backup goaltender. That's what we have right now. And that's, I think, at his worst. At his best, he's a starting goalie in the NHL. He's held this team together in a time where, you know, all the Russians were out and they weren't necessarily playing their best. They've had Oshie playing center. He's not a center. The defense has been pretty, knock on wood, been pretty consistent in terms of players. So that's been nice. They even have enough guys and put one of them on the bench just to hang out, not actually play. So if you have to give me an MVP at this point, I think I'm giving it to Vanacek.
Now, it's interesting that you brought up Vanacek. I'm a huge VTech fan, as we all know. But I want to say on the 28th on Sunday against the Rangers, it got close and it got kind of hairy there at the end. But I want to say that was Samsonov's best game. I was really impressed with his play on Sunday. And VTech's play last night against the Rangers, yes, it was a loss. But some of those goals that he gave up were a little soft. You kind of want VTech to be able to you know, bail you out when needed. we kind of saw, you know, who was it? Dmitry Orlov. It was a giveaway from him, and it was just a one-on-one between the Rangers and VTech, and VTech kind of crumbled there a little bit, unfortunately. So I'm kind of intrigued that if we weren't in this COVID era and we didn't have a back-to-back coming up, you know, for the next 2 weeks, would we have seen Samsonov in on Tuesday and not VTech? You know, I know you gotta you kind of have to keep both guys fresh at the moment, but you don't want VTech or you don't want Samsonov to stumble if he's doing well, but you also don't want VTech to get rusty. But if this were a regular season, you know, potentially because of Samsonov and his play on Sunday, if the games are a little bit more spread out, you know, would it be affecting either of these goalies' gameplay?
I mean, I think if this is a non-COVID situation, you know, if we were in the multiverse where we're in the world that doesn't have to deal with this nonsense, nonsense in the sense that it's evil and horrible, it needs to stop, not nonsense and that's fake. It's very much real. Samsonov's your starter because he plays at the beginning of the season. He doesn't get a debilitating virus that can affect you and infects everybody in so many different ways. And then he's your starter. So I think if it's in not, you know, if COVID wasn't a thing, we don't really know what we have in Vanecek, or we think we have a good backup. To another extent, I imagine, you know, if the COVID wasn't a thing, I imagine last offseason would have been a lot different in terms of like goalies and situations. And maybe it would have been the same. Lundqvist would have come and then he would have had the same operation and things would have happened. But I don't think we know what we have in Vanecek if it was a normal season. But I think what we know we have is a very talented goalie who can step in. Now, going into a, you know, a playoff run or if things go well, the playoffs, we don't know what we have and we're not going to know. But, you know, as many stories as there are about a goalie who hasn't played well in the playoffs, that's young, there have been good stories about a goalie who's come out of nowhere to play well in the playoffs that have then gone on to win cups. Look at Jordan Binnington. Look at Matt Murray when he was with the Penguins. You know, these are goalies that weren't necessarily a starter, and at least during the regular season. And then they came in and they played really well and they were able to kind of just block out everything else and backstop their team to a cup. So I'm not, you know, I know there are a lot of stories, and Tarik El-Bashir of The Athletic has talked about how he wouldn't be surprised if the Caps go out and get a goalie. And then, I forget the guy's name. I forget who they were talking about as a possible goalie to bring in. But, I wouldn't be surprised if they did, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they, like, I don't know what this team is going to do at the deadline, if they do anything. You know, maybe defensive depth, maybe a goalie, maybe forward. You know, part of me goes, go get another center that can step in on the third line, because now you got some injury concerns with Eller. And you're thinking, you know what? I don't think in the playoffs I really want to be moving Oshie over to the center spot. So maybe I go and I acquire a center that can step in on the third or fourth line.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk. I think we're about 10, 11 days from the trade deadline. And there's a lot of talk that this might be one of the more quiet trade deadlines, because, like, we've always been bringing up, what does it mean for teams that go to the Canadian division or whatever? And, yeah, there is a 14-day quarantine that they have to do to go play in Canada. I think the Canadian government actually did bump that down to 7, because I guess vaccines and stuff are more available.
I have to imagine some sort of waiver for sports teams. No?
No. Apparently, if you listen to the Caps official podcast, the Caps This Morning or whatever, they were talking about it, that the Canadian government stepped in and said it was 14 days if you were coming to play for Canada, but they bumped that down to 7. So it's
so if we tell Orlov, wait, so Eric Staal just got traded to the Canadians, so he has to, spoiler alert for around the NHL. So I didn't even think about that. So he's just got to go sit for a week?
He's got to go sit for a week. So if you're making a trade at the deadline,
well, if anything, then, you know, we see all the time in the past where trades happen early. Even more so, they're going to happen early now.
Yeah, because you've got the playoffs coming up mid-May, and you've got a player who's got to get acclimated to your system. He's got to do it even quicker than before because he's sitting for a week, maybe two, depending on where he's being traded to. So this may be a, you know, you're kind of settling for what you have right now. But that kind of leads me into my next thing I wanted to talk about. We had Lars Eller come back against the Rangers on Tuesday. Congrats to him getting better and coming back. Love to see him. But that meant somebody had to sit. And Daniel Sprong has impressed, and he actually stayed in the game. And they had Richard Panik sit instead. So obviously, Richard Panik, he was a guy that the Caps spent a lot of years and money, you know, to get him here. But is he a guy that you're going to carry with you into the playoffs? You know, with this trade deadline coming, are you looking for someone to replace Richard Panik on the line if you're sitting him right now, or is this just a reflection thing? Because Daniel Sprong, I mean, a lot of people are giving him Brent Connolly vibes that, you know, he didn't work out at other teams, came here, really showed up and did well. And then he got, you know, went to Florida and now he was put on waivers. I don't know if he actually landed anywhere.
I think he cleared. He's on their taxi squad.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you do have a guy like Daniel Sprong who's kind of surprising right now, but a lot of other teams are going to be looking at their teams and going, is this who we're happy with? And obviously the Capitals are happy with Daniel Sprong and maybe not so happy with Richard Panik.
I mean, we haven't been overly thrilled with Panik's play since they signed him. And I think it took some time for him to get to adapt to the team. But, you know, if you're looking at just from a purely statistics point of view, Panik's played in 34 games. He's got 9 points. He's a minus 7. Sprong has played in 24 games. He's got 10 points and a plus 8. I mean, that right there is telling in terms of which guy's going to be able to at least give you more production offensively. For the money that Panik is on, which is a cap hit of 2.75, which is going to be hard to move if you want to. And, well, I mean, considering it's going to be hard to necessarily find. It's going to have to find someone who's got this space, and maybe Panik's part of a, you know, a bigger deal. You know, I'd rather have Sprong playing because he's going to produce more than Panik. But then you have $2.75 million. He's been playing along with the fourth line. That's a lot of money to sit on your fourth line. So this is a team that does not have a lot of cap space. So they need to figure something out in terms of how to get the best production out of the players they have, because I don't see them really being able to make a deal without moving out someone that has a big chunk of change.
All right. So here we are. We're about to hit the new month of April. The Caps are looking pretty right now on top of the East. Hopefully they can stay there and get some points and continue what they've been doing in March. March was probably their best month of so far, so that's good. What else is going on in Caps world?
We got a last little bit of Caps news as they announced that they signed goalie Zach Vukelius, who's been with the Bears this season. They signed him to a two-year, two-way extension. So his NHL cap hit's going to, which I doubt will be an issue, but it'd be a nice story. It's about $750,000. But he's been doing well down there with the Bears. We'll talk about them in just a minute. But yeah, that's pretty much not a lot else is going on right now. You know, Ovechkin's climbing back into the NHL goal scoring race. He's got 18 goals now, up to 30 points, 12 assists. Carlson's doing well. Oshie's doing well. I'd like to see their plus minuses get a bit better. But, you know, we got Ovechkin's a minus 1, Carlson minus 5, Oshie minus 5. But Carlson's to an extent because you're playing against the other team's top players. And then Oshie's been playing the center spot on the third line, which I believe they usually put out against another team's top line. So that's a bit, you know, I can understand to an extent. Wilson, you know, playing is significantly less games because he's a moron. You know, he's still got 22 points in 26 games. So that's not bad. Kuznetsov, like, 18 and 25. You want to see that a bit better for your first or second line center. But, you know, they're still doing well. They're still rolling. They've had some hiccups and some bumps and things they can learn from, and they'll just keep going from there.
Now, I want to know if that is how you say this guy's last name, Fukale.
I want to be Fukale.
Fukale. If you call
so
it.
Then we have a new bit we can run with, like when we had
DePauly.
DePauly. That was our boy, DePauly.
I want to know how come no Hershey, Pennsylvania brewery has made a Hershey Bears ale called Fukale.
Well, because he's only been there like this year.
I start.
If he was there for like 10 years, and I'd be like, how is no one in Hershey done? Like, not even one of the bars would have like,
you know, Fukale.
A Fukale, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see how advertising that could be somewhat difficult.
Well, I mean, these guys are all independent advertisers anyway. Just put it on Facebook.
I mean, in terms of the inappropriate language aspect of it.
I mean, if it's a Hershey Bears ale, it would have to be a stout. You'd have to use Hershey's chocolate.
You have some chocolate in there.
Yeah.
I'm not a beer drinker, so I'm going to let you run with this one. But
yeah. But yeah, I would try a glass. I mean, think about it. You go up to a Bears game and
I'd have one.
I'll take
for
a Fukale.
$53, here's your shot glass of Fukale.
There's been a couple Caps beers around here, but I've never been able to get my hands on them because they
named after a player?
Not named after a player, but
they'll have like a Bud Light or something with the Caps logo.
No, Duclaw put out like a keg stand Caps beer or something like that? Or
that surprised me after they won the cup.
Yeah, after they won the cup. So I mean, it was such a limited run, and Caps fans are rabid for merch. So like they went two hats. They went a little crazy. So I didn't get one. I did get some Caps wine. You know, I have not opened that. Hold on. I'm going to go get it. I know where it is. Hold on.
That's a thing? I didn't know that was a thing. As Brandon runs off screen, which doesn't make sense since this is audio. One of these days, he's trying to put, for everyone else listening at home, he's trying to get me to do a live show. And it's going to be, I mean, we're just, you guys can't see this, like, because I said it's an audio medium, but we're always screwing around.
Yeah.
Like when we're recording, like I have a hat on for because it was near me and I felt like putting it on. I didn't start with the hat. And I put another hat on because why not? Brandon just ran away and then he brought back. So, all right, so let me describe this thing for you. So it looks like it'd be a bottle that you would get at a relatively nice Italian restaurant. You know, it's got the fat at the bottom and then quickly gets very narrow. It's a wine bottle. He hasn't opened it or he's really good at putting the cork back in. But is that say 2016 or 2018? Stop spinning it around. It's hard to read. Okay, so the stars there make it confusing because it looks like a six.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a Stanley Cup winning wine. I'm not a wine drinker either.
Well, let me it is a wine because you can't call champagne unless it comes from France. But this is a sparkling grape wine. And this is championship.
So it's champagne.
It's not champagne. Can't say that. It's illegal. Championship bubbly.
Just did. Bring it.
Championship bubbly.
So it's champagne.
So I have not opened it. It's not because it's not from France. This is from
it's really Missouri. Fight me on this one.
No, is this Montana? Who is MO? The abbreviation for the state. Who is MO? Is that Montana?
I think MN is Montana.
Which one's MO?
I don't know.
God, people think we are dummies.
Maryvale University. No, I'm just kidding. I just Googled it. It's not Missouri. Oh, it is Missouri.
Missouri?
Yeah, because Mississippi is MI.
All right. Missouri. So this is grape wine from Missouri.
This really doesn't help with the, like, people in the flyover states calling those on the coast elite or thinking we're elite. Awkward.
I'll read you the description here. On June 7th, 2018, with 7:37 to play in the third period, the Washington Capitals scored the goal that would clinch their first Stanley Cup championship.
No, you can't call it the goal. That's Ovechkin's.
That's true. In franchise history, under the lights of Las Vegas, the Washington Capitals and Mano's Wine have partnered to create a line of limited edition wine.
Why do we partner with a place in Missouri?
I don't know. To commemorate this historic feat. The perfect pairing to any Caps chant or Stanley Cup toast. So I have not opened this, as I have shown here, because I am waiting for the next Stanley Cup win, and that's when I will crack this bad boy open.
You're going to be waiting a while.
Now, let me tell you, I also have a bottle of wine from the 2011 Winter Classic between the Caps and Pens in my freezer. Not my freezer, my fridge. It's been there since 2011, and I was going to open it on when the Caps won the Stanley Cup, but I was at Jimmy Seafood, and I was not at home, so it is still in my fridge. And I will also tell you, I had a bottle during the actual Winter Classic. It is not good.
Well, they're not going to be an advertiser on this show.
So let's see if age helps that wine whenever they win the cup again. Because maybe I'll try it that time. Maybe first game of the Stanley Cup Finals, I will open up that wine.
No. I feel like that's a jinx. You have to wait.
I don't know. You start it that way. It could only get better after that wine. Start game one with wine, and you're like, it's got to go up from here.
No, you have to wait until they win it again.
I don't know. We'll see. All right. Well, that's it for Caps World. And I hope you enjoyed our talk about alcoholic beverages. If you're under 21, don't drink.
Hey, at least we didn't discuss jerseys this week.
Hey, it's true. It's very true. Oh, although
reverse retros, man.
The Fanatics did put out jersey tees for the new third alternates, and they put out Ovi, Oshie, and Chara. So I didn't have to specially make my Chara shirt if I could have waited a month. Thanks. Couldn't have put that out in February, guys. Thanks a lot. I would have preferred the blue one than a red shirt, but okay. All right. Well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 3-0 with wins over Lehigh Valley and 2 over Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Bears are currently first in the North Division with 24 points, 2 up on second place Lehigh Valley, although they have played 2 more games than the Flyers affiliate. Now, they'll attempt to continue their winning streak tonight, that being Wednesday, on the road in Lehigh Valley before coming back to the Giant Center on Saturday for an early afternoon game against Binghamton. In other Bears news, forward Philippe Mallet was named the CCM AHL Player of the Week for the week ending on March 28th. He got 8 points in 3 games. That's impressive.
Not bad.
That's not too bad at all. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 with both of those wins being over Orlando. They're currently 5th in the Eastern Conference with 42 points, 18 back of first place Florida. But they're only 4 back of third place Greenville. So basically, Florida's running away with this thing. And then there's everybody else. Now, the Stingrays will be back at it tonight. That's still being Wednesday. At the North Charleston Coliseum against Greenville before heading to Greenville on Friday for back-to-back games. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Yeah, if there's some bad blood, that's going to carry over to this weekend.
It's going to be interesting. Well, they just played 3 against Orlando, so I guess 3 against Greenville. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it is. All right, well, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of hockey stuff to talk about, not just NHL news. Hashtag spoilers. We're getting you guys ready. Coach Dan, tell us what's going on around the NHL.
Let's start in New York, where referee Tim Peel was fired after he was caught on mic in a game between Detroit and Nashville saying, "It wasn't much, but I wanted to get an expletive penalty against Nashville early in the," and then the mic cut off. I'll give you a hint as to which expletive he used. It starts with an F. The NHL came out the next day and said he will no longer be working NHL games now or in the future. So everybody that talked about makeup penalties, yeah, that's a thing. But no one else is ever going to admit it.
So,
because his dumb butt got fired for it.
Yeah, well, apparently he was retiring anyway at the end of this season. So there's not a lot of time he'll be missing. I don't know what kind of like benefits he'll be missing because he got fired. But...
Angel looks a little stupid right now.
Yeah. Talk about the integrity of the game, but one of the refs going, yeah, I wanted to get them a penalty early on. Not the smartest thing to say when you're wearing a microphone.
No. And the reality is when you have a game, it's all sports, where the referee is a human being, there's going to be a level of inconsistency between different referees because they all have they're different people. But... don't get caught talking about it, you idiot. Like, that's on you, man. So, he's out. Let's head over to Vancouver, where the Canucks announced, while we were recording, no less, that they have signed goalie Thatcher Demko to a 5-year, $25 million deal. This was reported by Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman.
What does this mean for Braden Holtby?
He's a backup, and he's probably going to Seattle or sticking around in Vancouver for one more year. But Holtby, I mean, he had to know that going in. Yeah. I have to imagine Vancouver's plan was, okay, Holtby starts the season as the starter, but Demko becomes our guy because they've wanted him to be the guy, and now they're paying him like it. He's been playing incredibly well for Vancouver. They got to build around him. In other teams that need some help, Buffalo traded forward Eric Staal to Montreal for a third and fifth round pick in 2021. And Rangers sent forward Brendan Lemieux to LA for a 2021 fourth round pick. There have been some other trades, but they're guys that I don't really know, and we only have so much time. In NWHL news, the Boston Pride became the first two-time winners of the Isabel Cup with a 4-3 win over the defending champion, the Minnesota Whitecaps, this past Saturday night. So congrats to the Pride. That's pretty cool. And finally, in far into the future news, for the first time ever, the Olympic and Paralympic Games logos were voted on by the public. I didn't actually know that was a thing.
Yeah, me neither.
I kind of wish I could have voted, but I like the one they came out with. So the 2026 Winter Olympics and Paralympics logo were unveiled during a live stream by the Milano Cortina Organizing Committee on Tuesday, March 30th. That was actually my wife's birthday. Yeah. For those who haven't seen it, just Google it. But if you're curious right now before you have a chance to Google it, the logo is made up of the number 26 in one single trace. Now, the games are due to take place from February 6th to the 26th in 2026. Did they do that on purpose, you think?
I think they would have had to, yeah.
I just thought of that. I was like, oh, duh. That's kind of fun. So, yeah, that's the news from the past week in the wide world of hockey.
All right, so far into the future. Yeah, we got the Olympics. We got some NWHL news.
I thought you were trying to make a
news.
Star Wars joke when you wrote that on the notes earlier.
I thought it came off a little space ballsy and not Star Wars. when I wrote that in the notes, but far, far into the future for the Olympics, 2026. What do you think? Will the NHL allow players in 2026? Because I'm intrigued to see how this new ESPN deal will affect their willingness to let players play in the Olympics.
They better.
It's way more fun if they do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's better teams, it's better sport, better game. It's more fun for us to cover.
Yeah. So, and okay. I know when it's in Beijing in 2022. So that means we're going to be watching games at 2-3 in the morning here on the East Coast of the U.S.
Nope. I'll be watching them on delay. I'm not crazy like you.
What's the time difference for Italy?
6 hours.
6 hours?
Yeah.
So that's probably midnight games?
No.
Maybe.
Other way around, man.
Other way around?
Yeah, they're ahead of us.
So
an 8 o'clock game will be at 2 in the afternoon. So you get home from work, you'll catch the end
Ooh.
Of a game.
All right, I'm for that.
That's not too bad.
I can take off work to watch that. Or if I'm still working from home in 2026, I'll just turn the game on while I'm working.
God, I wouldn't be surprised the way this is going. Oh, hey, I just saw this on Twitter. USA Hockey announced that the first two members of the 2022 U.S. Olympic men's ice hockey team, Stan Bowman will be the general manager. Bill Guerin will be the assistant general manager.
Look at that news breaking while we talk about the Olympics.
It was 2 hours ago, but yeah.
That's.
I just didn't see it. Oops.
Nor did I. All right, what do you think of those two guys? Are you impressed with that pick?
Because
the USA hockey team, the men's at least, has been less than stellar since Vancouver. Let's admit that.
What? Yeah. Let's see. Isn't Bowman Chicago? They're doing okay. They're middle. They're fifth right now in the Discover Central. And Guerin is in Minnesota, the Honda West, because the Minnesota's in the West somehow. They're in third. So, you know, it's fine. I don't really care. They're basically just picking which guys are the best American players. There was, it was a while ago, but I was looking at the projected rosters for, I think it was 2022. It'll be interesting to see who goes.
Lots of fun. I love international hockey. I can't wait to see some international hockey at the Olympics coming up in Beijing. So that'll be a lot of fun. All right, so Coach Stan, have we covered everything for this episode?
Yeah, man, let's wrap it up before my kid wakes up from his nap.
All right, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Stan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Stan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Stan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff. When I actually have an opportunity to take my phone out during a game, but I'm not telling my kid to not swing the hockey stick that Brandon got him at the TV. He does like hockey, though. When the game's on, he'll go, hockey. Hockey. Or anytime he sees the Caps logo anywhere. Like, I have this little cup. It's got the Caps logo on it. He'll see that and go, hockey. Yeah. Like, he knows.
Right, good. You got to get him young. You got to raise
now,
him.
Now, he also
way.
Thinks that anything that is round and ball-shaped is a basketball. But I don't think he's ever actually held a real basketball. So, I don't understand what's going on with him. But somehow, that was finding me on Twitter, at WTP Coach Dan. But, hey, if you've enjoyed the show, if you've enjoyed my rambling, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other interesting things related to the Washington Capitals, the National Hockey League, the Olympics when they are happening. I was going to say when they come out, but that's not how that works. And, yeah, whatever else that's funny that pops into Brandon's head. But that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if they happen to be a fan of a purple-clad team up in Balmer, is there another show they should be checking out?
That's right. If you are a Baltimore Ravens fan, you can check out my podcast called The Call. It's where me and my buddy Josh talk all things Baltimore Ravens. Now, if the Ravens could actually do something and give us something to talk about in this offseason, that would be great. So we could do a show.
Washington making some moves. Buffalo making some moves.
They renamed their stadium. I know that much in Buffalo.
Yeah, I just forgot what it's called.
I just know the joke answer from the room is, "Oh, hi, Mark Stadium." but yeah, if you should check us out on Facebook as well, because like Coach Dan said, I share anything hockey related. Like Mighty Duck Funko Pops are coming out.
Oh, God,
that's right. So if you love that '90s movie, you can check out some Funko Pops of the Mighty Ducks. Get yourself a Gordon Bombay. Put it on your desk. All right, so let's go over the games until we talk again. On April 1st, Thursday, April 1st, this is no joke, the Capitals are up against the New York Islanders. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. Friday, back-to-back games. The Caps travel a little bit further down from the Islanders and up against the Devils in Newark. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on the NHL Network nationally or NBC Sports Washington locally. And then on Easter Sunday, the Capitals up against the Devils. That game's at 3 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington or the NHL Network. And then on Tuesday, the Caps go back to Brooklyn, and they're up against the Islanders. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. So that's it until we talk again. Like Coach Dan said, go over, check us out on Facebook. Write us an Apple Podcast review and let people know on social media that you're a Caps fan and you listen to What the Puck, and they should too. Get them ready for the postseason. So that is it until we talk again. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Is that gel?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.